we look at Antifa as more of an ideology or a movement than an organization. To be clear, we do have quite a number of properly predicated domestic terrorism investigations into violent anarchist extremists, any number of whom self-identify with the Antifa movement. And that's part of this broader group of domestic violent extremists that I'm talking about. But it's just one part of it. We also have the racially motivated violent extremists, the militia types, and others.
You know what? I am so glad that FBI Director Chris Wray is gone. Listen to the pacifism in his voice. And when he was reporting on Antifa, they were up to no good in this country already. There was a lot of violence. They had killed people. They'd knocked people out. They were knocking out windows. We know many of them were there in the Capitol on January the 6th. And here we have this, like, almost a yawn. Well, you know, Antifa is kind of an idea. It's not really, you know, I'm sick of it. And I think we need to all be sick of it. We have to stop this. And so today our discussion is going to be a little bit different. I think the question is, who is funding this? Who is funding this thing that's just an idea, which we know is more than an idea? Who's funding it, and how are we going to stop it? We're going to be talking about that today on Sandy Rios 24/7. But first, there are vast numbers of Americans who have not had a chance for life because their mothers have decided to terminate their lives, either in utero or with the abortion pill, whatever they're doing. And so, even if for no other reason, that shouldn't happen in America, because we've promised everyone the right to life, and that includes our babies. So on this July, the celebrating the birth of our nation, we remember that, and we want to do everything we can to change it. Preborn is certainly doing that, and that's by showing moms the photos of their baby in utero, where they can see them sucking their thumb or moving around. It's just beautiful, and that's what happens. And it changes moms' minds. Most of them actually do change their mind when they see that. One ultrasound is $28, and we just hope and pray that you'll be generous and give your best amount to help stop taking the lives of unborn babies in this country. We need to do it right now. So lots of things, good things are happening. Let's add this to the list. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy, and make your most a generous donation. Well, you can call us. This is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. You can call us at 662-821-2040 and leave a message, some response, some thing of observation, something you didn't like, something you did like. We love hearing from you. So call 662-821-2040 and to leave us a message about what you think about what you're hearing. Or you can write us at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. You can find us on any of the social media platforms. And you can also find us at my website, which is sandyrios.com. I think that it's easier to listen to the podcast doing that. If you're not used to podcasting, sandyrios.com. However, if you're an AFR listener, you probably have already discovered, I hope, that you can go to afr.net. And listen to the program, or you can go to any social media platform, Apple or Spotify or Amazon or any of those, and listen to Sandy Rios 24/7 anytime. Well, you can listen to it, by the way, 24/7. Wasn't that clever? Anyway, so there are lots of ways to listen, and I encourage you to do that. All right, well, today Scott Walter, who's the president of Capital Research Center in Washington, D.C., who's been tracking the money from different entities to these radical groups today, especially George Soros, who's given $80 million to extremism. And that's a report that they just did. And we're going to be discussing what Soros has done and who he's given the money to on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line.
Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
Our intelligence indicates that these people are organized. They're getting more and more people on their team as far as attacking officers, and they're making plans to ambush them and to kill them. We have specific officers and agents that have bounties that have been put out on their heads. It's been $2,000 to kidnap them, $10,000 to kill them. They've released their pictures. They've sent them between their networks, and it's an extremely dangerous situation and unprecedented. So we've put protective detail around those individuals, change some of our operations to keep our officers safe. But make no mistake, this isn't just about, you know, protesting free speech or that they don't like that people out here are upholding the law of our country. They're actually going out there and saying, kill these people and we'll give you this much money to do it.
If you're like me, the question that goes through your mind is, who is paying for this? Who is paying for this? We all know that the people we're seeing out on the streets during the day, during the night, at all hours of the night, with staying in safe houses in Portland, Oregon, something has happened. When they have bricks delivered on the street so that they can throw them, when they have like gear, like signs, somebody's paying for this. And I have to tell you, someone is tracking it. And they're good friends of mine, have been for a long time. It's the Capitol Research Center. They describe themselves as America's investigative think tank, and certainly they are that. They publish what's called an influence watch constantly, and they are tracking the funders and the money and where it's going. And so I thought it was time to have a discussion with Scott Walter, who's the president of Capital Research Center, and he's joining us this morning. Scott, thank you for joining us.
Great to be with you, Sandy.
All right, Scott, do you ever get tired of this? You've been doing it for a long time.
Oh, not at all, not at all. In fact, it's, you know, the wonderful news is that this is getting more and more attention. You know, I'm cautiously optimistic, but I'm more optimistic than I've ever been, because folks are really tuning in and beginning to figure out just how ugly the left-wing infrastructure in the nonprofit world is.
So let's get into it. Your recent report focuses on George Soros, and it's called The Open Society, that's his organization, Closed Eyes, the $80 million Soros Pipeline to Extremism. And, of course, Soros has sort of stepped aside. His son, Alexander, is now running this ably, it sounds like. And so this is just one guy, I have to say, because the last time you and I talked, it was about Arabella, which is this way of combining their money to spread their influence with other billionaires. Is that a good description?
Yes. Arabella takes in money from lots and lots of lefty billionaires. It's important to understand that that there are lots and lots. Most people can only name off the top of their head Soros himself, but many, many other left-wing billionaires are out there putting money into a lot of the same things.
Let's take a pause for a second to go back in time. And after all of your research on George Soros, and of course I've been following him since I was in D.C., that's when I first met you, 20-plus years ago. Soros was a big name then. But why? Why is George Soros so bent, hell-bent, on paying for the destruction of this country?
Well, of course, I can't peek into somebody else's soul, but you know, I think St. Augustine is probably on to something. He talked about how there was a lust that was worse than, you know, when we say lust, we normally think lust for bodies. But he said, yeah, that even worse is the lust for power, for control. And that is what the left-wing billionaires seem to be obsessed with. Right? The one pattern that always repeats is they are never for anything that decentralizes power, that gives power back to states and localities and neighborhoods and families. They are always for centralizing ever more power in D.C., and part of that, I'm sure, is that it's just a lot easier to manipulate folks in D.C. than it is to manipulate people in every town in America.
And, you know, going back on Soros, just a few bullet points that I remember. He has wrecked world economies. I think Britain's, I think he crashed the, the banking system in Great Britain a number of years ago, but even further back than that, this to me is one of the most interesting stories that gives insight to me, Scott, and that is that Soros' father was, they're Jewish, and so during the Holocaust, his father worked with the Nazis to identify Jews, and Soros, as a boy, according to what I've read, tagged along with his dad. That's how traitorous, treacherous, horrific. He's an atheist, so he certainly hates God too, but this is what he did to his own people. So it kind of gives us an insight. So, all right, how can we know? Soros has an open society. It's located in New York City, right?
Yes, that's the main headquarters, although there are open society entities and offices in dozens of countries all over the world. It's, again, talk about a ravenous appetite.
Well, and he's open borders, which he's affected the open borders worldwide because of the same, what you said earlier, it's controlled, just really breaking down countries. Just it's just so destructive. It's, you and I would probably say something like it's from the pit of hell. Some other person ordering this and entity ordering this besides a human being on Earth, but it's chaos that they're seeking, and they're really doing a good job with it. So you guys are in the business of facts. I'm throwing out thoughts and ideas, but you are tracking actual transactions. And what are you seeing that you can track that that proves that George Soros is funding the much of the anarchy that we're seeing?
Yes, well, it's important to make the caveat that by the time you're getting all the way down to the very end of this trail, right, which is to say the most violent criminals doing particular things, you are many steps away, you know, from a grant that the Open Society Foundations in New York City has, you know, cut a check for. I urge people to go to capitalresearch.org and read the report carefully. But the what we did say is that in the report is that you can find three types of groups that get Open Society Foundation funding. And the furthest out are ones where the grantees have some ties to terrorist groups or pro-terrorist groups. Say, for instance, you know, the head of one might be in the same family as a terrorist or whatnot. The second group, worse, are groups, the second category of groups, are groups that have endorsed terrorist attacks, like those against Israel October 7th, and or are directly linked to foreign terrorist groups or terrorist front groups. And then the third and worst of all are groups that directly assist domestic terrorism and criminality on U.S. soil. So these are ones that help to not just exalt violence, but also teach the techniques of violence to folks. And these are ones that are working with, you know, semi-Antifa-type things like the Ruckus Society and the rest. Again, it's a murky little underworld. It's super hard to penetrate because they're very good at hiding their tracks and keeping their anonymity and keeping plausible deniability for what they're doing. And even in any one of the smaller groups, you know, some of them may be actually out there doing real violence, and others may just be out there chanting protests and whatnot. But another thing I would say that you have to understand about this is that there's the left is so well organized, right, that Antifa doesn't have to have lawyers among its membership because there's something called the National Lawyers Guild, which starting back in Stalin's day has been a communist front group, still continues today as a hard left group. They're at every single protest that just happened to have Antifa violence at it, right? And they're there for multiple reasons. They're there to intimidate police from acting against violent or illegal protesters. They're there to spring anybody who does get arrested quickly, so there's no consequences for your law breaking. I mean, they are absolutely essential to Antifa's success, and yet, of course, those lawyers themselves are probably not throwing bricks, right? So how do you count that kind of assistance to what one person has called civil terrorism?
You know, I saw, now this is not the U.S., this is Quebec, and this was a report by Rebel News, and I saw a female reporter with more guts than I could ever imagine having. She was in a church in Quebec, and there was a worship service going on, and it was on camera, and about halfway back, a gentleman, kind of heavy set but not old, picks up an incendiary device and hurls it to the stage. It damages the church. He runs. They've got lots of video of him. You can see his face. You can see what he's got on. Well, she tracks him and calls the police and said, I have this guy. And she follows him and follows him. And the police do come. He calls the police too. She tracks him for 45 minutes. She's talking to him, asking him constant questions. It turns out, Scott, that this guy is part of, he's Antifa affiliated. He makes a phone call and these punks on bikes with masks show up to try to attack her. It's really, and then they track him. He's actually part of the Canadian government. So I know that's not the U.S., but this is a worldwide problem. And my point is, yes, they pick up the phone and they get defense. They have like little ants who crawl out of the, you know, the corner, cockroaches. And it is difficult. So how is it that you guys are tracking any of this?
Well, as I said, you just described that beautifully because that shows you how, you know, complicated and shadowy. I mean, there absolutely is an organization, but it's not, you know, a simple one like, you know, the ACLU or something, right? It's not like there's a national headquarters and all this is out there in public. It's secretive, it's over social media, and encrypted, you know, encrypted means of communication, but it's very effective, and they are, I mean, what you just described could just, I mean, the same thing happens in Portland and whatnot. There's one of the best books on this is Andy Ngo, N-G-O.
Yes.
He's got a great book on Antifa that describes this in detail. With Portland and Seattle. But the other problem you have is that, you know, the cops were not helping this lady, right?
There
was a horrible criminal who was violent and destructive and certainly intimidating. Imagine, you know, people should imagine somebody, you know, you're at church on Sunday morning and there's a Molotov cocktail lighting part of the church on fire. I mean, think how traumatized, you know, any normal person would be, right? Which is the whole point. Now, why in the world didn't if this gal could get him, why hadn't the cops already gotten him and locked him up? That's one of the big differences between today and the 1960s. You had violent radicals then. In fact, some of these people are the same ones. The Portland Antifa has a connection to a Weather Underground terrorist.
Oh, of course.
Amazingly.
Of course.
But here's the thing. Back then, big city mayors, including Democrat big city mayors, would not tolerate this kind of thing on their streets. You know, Mayor Daley of Chicago would not have left that guy at large. And this is a huge problem because much of the law enforcement ought to be done by state and local entities. You know, I'd much prefer that than the feds, although FBI has some good intel operations and they obviously could assist state and local folks. But as Andy Ngo's book documents, you know, there in the Pacific Northwest, they absolutely will not do this. They will not enforce their own laws. Or in Berkeley or in Chicago. I mean, that is just a dreadful problem that it's not easy for a president to deal with.
No, absolutely. I've been covering this, Scott. I talked to a Chicago policeman actually in an earlier podcast about this very thing. He's retired, being 4 years retired, but of course he knows what's going on in the streets. But it's never anything like this. Never anything like this in my lifetime, where police and local authorities are undermining, not protecting their citizens. I suppose that is the worst crime. They don't care if people are being killed and hurt and injured. You know, in that Portland area, they've got this these seniors living nearby who are asking, please, we can't sleep. They're here all night. They're never quiet, and we can't rest. And it's they don't care. It truly is stunning. But Scott, back to Soros's. Now, I've heard lots of things, and I don't know if you can quantify this, but, you know, in the riots that happened in the past few years, like who can picture which ones, but when the bricks were being delivered on pallets and they had certain kinds of hats and sophisticated masks, wasn't there some link to Soros then about where those supplies are coming from?
I'm not sure which exact example you're thinking of. But the one group that was mixed up in things, you know, pretty bad, including Occupy Wall Street, among other things, was something called the Alliance for Global Justice. And Soros and other tides and other lefties have sent money through there. It was one of their specialties to then hand out cash, essentially, to, you know, local insurrectionists, as it were. So they definitely were handing out monies to the Occupy Wall Street folks. Now, you know, the Ford Foundation or Soros's foundation, they're not going to cut a check. Or, sorry, they're not going to just, you know, walk around with $5,000 or $10,000 in cash and hand it out to people with bullhorns, you know, in tents. But Alliance for Global Justice would. And they are so bad that most of the credit card processing companies have now refused to do business with them because they have had ties proven to Palestinian terrorists. So they're having a hard time lately. But there's, and by the way, they're so radical that they're aligned with the North Korean communist tyranny, which, man, that's impressive.
Yeah, that's very impressive. That's hardcore hating, hardcore death and destruction. The worst place on the planet, really, for that, for oppression of the people. Well, the Black Lives Matter, he was also, Soros was tied to supporting that organization. I don't know, this is Movement for Black Lives. Is that a different organization?
Yeah, well, Movement for Black Lives was actually started by the Ford Foundation, a very radical group. Again, go to, you mentioned it earlier, influencewatch.org.
Yes.
Is our online encyclopedia for all this, for people who want more background. But it was one of the more prominent Black Lives Matter entities. The largest one originally was the Black Lives Matter Global Network Foundation. That's the notorious one whose leaders were buying fabulous real estate for themselves and
yes.
the Canadian Communist Party headquarters mansion.
Yes.
And real wonderful folks there.
Yeah, and claiming openly that they were Marxists. Yeah, they were not real subtle. All right, but now you mentioned this, but I think a lot of Americans are so concerned by what they're seeing on college campuses, by these pro-Palestinian protesters all over this country. And so there is a tie, is there not? You found a tie between Soros' Open Society and Al-Haq, I think it's called. What can you say about that?
Yes. I can say that there was a left-leaning media outlet that specializes in philanthropy news, and they were complaining because they said, some people say Al-Haq isn't really connected to terrorism. And I said, okay, do you have the report open in front of you? Yes. It's like, well, let's go to page, I don't know, 13 or whatever. It's like, what do we say there about it? Oh, we say that the executive director is a convicted terrorist. Maybe they are tied to terrorism. Right? You can't make this stuff up. I mean, that's a South Park episode.
No, really. You know, I saw on your website today, I saw a story about, and I don't expect you to know everything on your website, so I don't want to, I'm sorry to throw things at you. This is a vast amount of stuff to have in your mind. It's a 5 or 8 page report. But the title here is Heiress to Holocaust Gas Fortune. Heiress to Holocaust Gas Fortune funds far left and anti-Israel activism. So that's not Soros, but it's we know that this anti-Israel activism is being funded in a number of ways, and it's really causing great danger on our college campuses, great danger to Jewish people, to Jewish students, And we, you can, I'm assuming, because it's in your report, you can prove that the Soros Foundation is at least supporting one entity of this, the Al-Haq non-governmental organization.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the State Department recently defined Al-Haq, whose main offices are in the West Bank, as a terrorist, foreign terrorist organization. By the way, Sandy, I have another great left-wing press story for you. So the New York Times has now done two articles and, in fact, apparently plans to do a third article on our Soros report. Now, the second one, which was the most, first one just mentioned its existence. The second one tried to dig into it some more, and they found no factual errors, mind you, nor did they didn't even find something that we hadn't provided documentation, you know, a claim that we made without having documentation, because that's our rule. We document anything we say in public. And but anyways, so on one of these groups, the Center for Third World Organizing, they couldn't say we were wrong to say that Soros funded it. But what they did manage to say is, well, he doesn't supply that much of their funding. All these other left-wing philanthropies supply funding to it as well. Now, I'm not sure that that's a fabulous refutation of the point of our report, which is not that all evil is connected in the world is connected to George Soros, but rather that left-wing philanthropy funds evil, including violent evil. So, and by the way, the Center for Third World Organizing links to the sort of thing I was talking about, Ruckus Society and other more radical still entities. It links to their resources for how you can evade police, how you can lie to police, how you can have fake IDs to escape criminal consequences for your actions, how you can violate the law by blockading bridges, and on and on and on. So all the New York Times did was document our overarching point that left-wing philanthropy, which is supposed to be charitable, which is not allowed to support any kind of lawbreaking, is in fact a pillar of left-wing lawbreaking and violence.
You know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of what we're talking about, Antifa on bicycles, you know, coming to protect certain bad actors, like swarming or this the government guild, whatever, lawyers guild. But this time, I'm thinking of Soros himself. Well, his family, whatever, his son that's running it. But they have their headquarters again in New York City. And I remember when James O'Keefe tried to do undercover work there. Do you remember that? I don't remember many details except that I don't think he got very far. I mean, they guard that place. There is a protective shield around Soros. Listen to the New York Times defending him. What's that? Why is government surrounding him with such protection and has been now for decades?
Well, that's easy, because our moral superiors in the overclass all protect one another, right? I mean, the New York Times, when they mentioned an earlier report of ours that documents left-wing support for terror-linked groups, they refused to put a link to our report in the article. You know, God forbid an American be allowed to see what we had. Now, maybe what we have is garbage, in which case, okay, fine, they can see it's garbage. But maybe we are full of facts, and that is not something you would want out there.
No, you know, let me just take this opportunity to say it's capitalresearch.org, capitalresearch.org, that you can read all of this stuff and these articles and get more information than Scott will and I will ever get to right now. And the other daily thing, I think daily, that they put out is influencewatch.org, which will give you insights that you will really, your ears will blow back, but it will keep you informed in a brand new way. You know, one thing I'm noticing, Scott, and I know this is not your bailiwick, but as I prep for shows and stuff, I am noticing that there, from my perspective, there's an uptick in censorship on YouTube, on and some of these websites. You know, it seems worse. I was trying to think what one that's covering these riots. I can't remember right offhand. It's just one that I like to go to because they're doing a great job. They have a reporter on the street. You can't pull it up. You can't pull it up. You try to find an article, or I search, and it's just becoming harder. It's harder to find. I will know that, for instance, and this is just I can't say this is specifically true for this clip, but a clip like this, I was looking for Kristi Noem talking about the threats against the ICE agents, and I had trouble finding it, and it would come up and then disappear. So I think there's some real nonsense going on. That's ramping up the way it was like in, I don't know, the election 2020. It's like somebody's messing with us again in big time. So it's hard for people to find the truth.
No, you're right. And if places like NPR and the New York Times were honest and would actually cover this in a thorough way, they could do a great job of exposing lots of it. But and by the way, one thing, speaking of James O'Keefe, his Project Veritas at the time did some infiltration of the Portland Antifa folks, and that's in Andy Ngo's book as well, and it's just fascinating to see, you know, how they train and brainwash their cadres.
You know what? I've got to track back with Andy and interview him on that book. I'm glad you gave me a heads up on that. I did interview him years ago when he was beaten by Antifa, and so it's time to talk to him again. He has been a great source of information for us on this. Which brings me to another thing, Scott. Now, you worked with the Bush administration. I think when I was in D.C., you were doing that, I think. But you know how government works, and you probably remember, as I do, maybe not in real time, but the House Committee on Un-American Activities. The Congress of the United States of America used to track people who were subversives trying to undermine this country. Why, in all of these decades with Soros, has our Congress even been so remiss and silent and really done nothing? Just as far as I know, have they ever done anything in response to the research that you guys have produced?
Well, they've done some work on some of the election-related problems. Like there's been at least one Zuckerbucks hearing. They've done some looking into the way the left uses its quote-unquote charity money and charitable groups to do partisan voter registration, which, of course, is completely illegal. They have done it is incredibly rare to find anybody from big philanthropy showing up at a hearing room and being asked questions about what they're supporting.
Yeah, so you have to ask yourself why. And, you know, when I hear Pritzker, I don't know if you've heard his latest blathering. In fact, we'll just pause just for a second. You should hear this.
Let me just say that the secretary doesn't know what she's talking about. She, frankly, says that people are clapping. They're not. They're booing her on the street. And they're booing ICE and CBP. They're marching, the CBP marching on a beautiful Sunday in Michigan Avenue in downtown Chicago. They're raiding neighborhoods where instead of going after the bad guys, they're just picking up people who are brown and black and then checking their credentials. Are you a U.S. citizen? I don't know about you, but I don't carry around papers that say I'm a U.S. citizen. So you can imagine people are getting detained. They're getting arrested. U.S. citizens. And they did this, of course, when they raided a building in the middle of the night in South Shore. 130 people that were emptied out of this building. They were going after a few gang members, and instead they broke windows, they broke down doors, they ransacked the place, and there were people that were held, elderly people and children zip-tied, elderly people held for 3 hours at a time. They are the ones that are making it a war zone. They need to get out of Chicago if they're not going to focus on the worst of the worst, which is what the president said they were going to do. They need to get the heck out.
So that's the voice of J.B. Pritzker, who's the governor of Illinois, and he is, there's just no truth. I don't think he's capable of telling the truth. He's a very convincing liar. from a very wealthy family in Chicago. There, I just talked to a Chicago policeman. Of course, that is nonsense, what he just said. And so, Scott, this is not maybe your bailiwick, and forgive me for asking you this question, but the thought occurs to me. Are these guys in Portland, the governor, the mayors, are they getting paid by money, like, for instance, from a Soros or some of these big entities? What is their motivation?
Well, again, I think, you know, the biggest problem is the basic ideology that the most radical and extremist folks operate from is the same one that's taught in every fine college and university and our K-12 system and the rest. You know, they're all indoctrinated with America is the source of all evil. It's a purely racist country. The only thing the Antifa folks do is act consistent with those beliefs. I mean, if we are monstrous, well, then, you know, somebody should be trying to slay the monster. Now Pritzker doesn't look like he gets off the couch very often, right?
That's right.
You know, I suppose he's not going to be the one running around throwing heavy objects. But they all buy into this same garbage ideology. And as Andy Ngo's book talks about, you know, in the midst of Portland having months and months of violence, by the way, thank you, for Governor, for saying breaking windows is objectionable. You know, months of broken windows, riots, assaults on police, destruction of property, assaults on federal buildings. In the midst of all that, the Portland City Council voted to significantly chop funding for police. So, you know, and the mayor cheered him on. So, you know, that's ideological alignment, whether or not they're anybody's getting paid or not. And it is a huge, you know, they're not legally responsible for the violence, but they're morally responsible for the violence.
You know, everywhere we look and every news story in the last several days is just a battle in the courts and in our law enforcement and, you know, other officers who've gotten in place in these various states against law and order and the American people and their local residents. So it's my understanding, Scott, that you now, Capital Research Center, is able now, has been, briefing the White House. Do you feel like the White House is moving on this, and can you say anything about that?
Well, I can't say much, but I'll just repeat my what I said before, that I'm more optimistic that there may be some accountability than I have been before. Now, I also hope that the White House is very careful, right? Because this is not a fair playing field, right? The mainstream media and even a huge chunk of the legal system will not play fair with folks who are trying to do something about this terrible left-wing violence. So I hope the administration is extra careful to be sure that it is using the best possible evidence of actual law-breaking and criminal activity, and start with the most violent bad guys, and then work on conspiracy charges. If you can show that the most extreme lawbreakers, in fact, were receiving assistance of various kinds. It's just going to be essential to do that and to make it clear that you're not attacking political enemies, you're attacking criminals. Our side always has to be extra squeaky clean and careful, because we get Antifa gets the benefit of the doubt, but the president will not.
You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking of the Constitutional Convention, when the woman asked Ben Franklin, when he was leaving, what kind of a government that they had left us, and he said, "A republic, madam, if you can keep it." You know, because with all the freedom that we have, it's very difficult when people are not self-constrained through religion and morality. You can't make enough laws to stop this madness. And so we're victims of our own free society. But the good thing is that, you know, honestly, Scott, the work that you've done for so many years at Capital Research Center is paying off and it's getting traction. And so I'm glad for that. And I want to give you a tribute for your steadfastness and your great staff for exposing all of this stuff. And God willing, you know, the truth will just kind of get into the American bloodstream and the wickedness will just really get covered by truth and exposed. That's what we pray for. And any last thoughts from you?
I always just say, even though I talk about all this money and organization on the other side, people should not get depressed for two big reasons. One, folks who believe in America's founding principles once had the amazing success of some backwoods colonials knocking down the biggest empire the world had ever seen. And then second, you've got to remember that at least three-quarters of Americans agree with at least three-quarters of what we're talking about here. So, you know, that's why the other side has to censor and make it hard to discover the truth. Ordinary Americans don't want their bridges shut down, don't want college campuses lit on fire or Jews attacked. So that's an important fact as well.
That's very encouraging. That's just great. And you deal in facts. That was a good one. Let me remind you, it's Capital Research Center. Go to capitalresearch.org. Their new report is Open Society, Closed Eyes, the 80 million Soros pipeline to extremism. Of course, they have tons of reports on their website that you will be interested in. And Scott Walter has been president there for a number of years, doing a great job. Scott, thank you so much, and God bless you and keep you. And I hope to see you soon.
Thanks so much, Sandy.
All right, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
As abortion continues to rise, Preborn is expanding their life-affirming care in the darkest corners of our nation to help more hurting women and save more babies. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $15,000 will place a machine, an ultrasound machine, in a needy women's center, saving countless lives for years to come. To donate, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Hi, Sandy Rios, back with you on Sandy Rios 24/7. I just want to remind all of us that, you know, I get furious with the things that we're watching unfold. But I want to emphasize that this is about America. It's about you and your neighbors and your children. The absolute absence of seriousness by our officials on addressing this lawlessness is shocking to me. It has real life effects. I want you to hear a citizen from Chicago talking about how he feels about what's going on in his streets. Let's listen.
What's really interesting to me is how these people are squawking about ICE agents coming into black communities and getting rid of the guns and the criminals. And yet I see these people that don't even live in these communities running their mouths saying that it's the worst thing that's ever happened in America and that it's domestic terrorism. No, dude, let me say something very clear to you, okay? This isn't domestic terrorism. This is us getting rid of criminals out of our neighborhood that have been here for 5-6 decades, harassing us, terrorizing us. And you seem to be very fine with that because it's not your neighborhood that you have to deal with this nonsense. We welcome ICE in our neighborhoods. We want them here. We don't want to live in crime anymore. We don't want to hear bullets whizzing by anymore. We don't want our kids shot, stabbed, beaten, or run over anymore. So you're going to have to cope with it because we're done coping with it.
You know, that actually, because I'm a Chicagoan, it just makes me so sad. Because it's been for decades, certainly, that the black community in Chicago has suffered so much from the negligence, the lack of concern about gangs and shootings and the violence in those streets. And now it's morphed into this. Now they're prey to these ICE protesters and Antifa and the chaos of that in their neighborhoods. That's where this is happening. No, I don't know. I'm sick of it. And I think I want to also point out that for those of you that are believers in Christ, anger is good. The right kind of anger is good. Be angry. Be angry. And but sin not, it says. So you don't take your gun out and shoot people randomly. But boy, you go out and you ask for justice. You demand it. And I mean justice, God's justice. You hear me say that every day at the beginning of the show. I'm not talking about social justice. I'm talking about the right to people to live free, to be able to pursue their lives, to walk down their streets, to be neighbors, to live life, to have a barbecue outside, to just be free. That's a right that God gives to each of us as Americans, and we have to reclaim it. So get angry. Get angry. Well, I want to thank you for listening to today's edition. I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope you are angry in the right way on this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.